Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. It's been a minute since we've been on, and we need to do a little changes here and there, and I'm so happy to have our guest join us tonight. We were originally scheduled, I think, for November 15th, and I got COVID, and Albert was kind enough to reschedule with me, and I thank him so much. So without further ado, let's just welcome him to the show. Singer, songwriter, musician, the drummer and co-founder of Blue Oyster Cult, Mr. Albert Bichard. How are you, Albert?
I am excellent, Joanne. Very good.
Wonderful. It's nice to hear somebody's excellent for a change, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sorry I tried calling you, but could you hear me when I called you before?
No, I just heard myself. Talking back.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you, so I had to get out. I had to get out of it real quick and come back in. I don't know what this thing is crazy. I don't know what to do anymore. But anyway, I'm so glad that you rescheduled. Thank you so very much. That was so kind of you. And I got to ask this.
Yes.
You know I got about the more cowbell. How did that feel when it, like, kind of resurrected the song again? I've always loved it. I've always listened to Blue Oyster Cult. So for me, it wasn't a resurrection, but, you know, it kind of brought it all back. How cool was that?
It was very cool. I have to tell you that at that time, now, in 1987, I left the music business to become a teacher in a public school. And I taught in Harlem, actually, in a school in Harlem. And and so when I started, you know, the kids were like, yeah, sure, you a rock star, you know.
Yeah.
If you're such a rock star, what are you doing in this shitty school, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm in this school because I like working with you guys. And they're like, oh, come on. Now you're just messing with us. And I'm like, no, I really do. I've been in the music business, and it's a hard business. And at the time, I was feeling like a lot of the people that I worked with had betrayed me. So I was like, this is it, you know. And then I tried my hand at producing young groups. I thought, well, I can just, you know, share my knowledge with young groups.
Yeah.
And so I'd find a group playing in the club, and I would approach them and tell them who I was, and they'd be like, oh, cool, you know. And I'd say, let's make a demo, you know. And we'd go into a studio. I had a studio that would let me record for free, you know. And and an engineer who was fantastic, who worked with me as well. So with the idea that if they got the deal, we'd get to produce the record. And
right.
So we got three groups deals. The first group, we got a deal with Roadrunner Records called Heads Up, and we made an album that did pretty well. They went on a tour. They came back from the tour. We did an EP with them, and when we finished the EP, they broke up.
Isn't that
that was
the normal story of rock and roll, right?
Yeah, the guitar player slept with the lead singer's wife, or the drummer slept with the
guy.
I don't remember.
One of those.
It was one of those.
Yeah.
So they broke up, and then I got another group that was an all-girl group, and they were fantastic. And
But they were all sleeping together. No, I'm kidding.
No, well, I don't know. There was one girl who was gay, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
But all the others were hetero, you know.
Yeah,
boyfriends and stuff.
No, I was just kidding.
The manager was the husband of one of the girls. So.
That was a problem.
I got them a deal with Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Really good deal.
Yeah.
Good money. I was supposed to make a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, payday here for me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd work with a whole bunch of other groups, you know. You know, with I almost got to produce Voivod, but there was a language issue, so I couldn't get the French. If I spoke French better, if I even had just more of a, you know, I think I speak French good enough now, but back then I didn't know. I was afraid to work with them because I didn't know if I could communicate. But anyway,
right.
So I got this group and they broke up because the lead singer and the manager, the other girl's husband, got into a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
And she quit.
Yep.
And so they replaced her with somebody who was just not, you know, the lead singer was amazing. I mean, they got somebody else who was like, okay. And I was like, oh no. And then they got another producer and they, you know, I got an advance, but I never got the money I was supposed to get. And the record never came out. So
right. I was going to say, that was the end of that.
Group a deal. And they broke up before they could. We even got in the studio. I made a demo with them, and they got a deal on the demo. They were called Kablamma Chunk, and they were very funny, very entertaining group. But they also broke up, you know, before they even made a record. So
it was
getting worse. So I said, okay, you know what? I need to find a real job. And I was teaching at a place called the Drummers Collective.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what were you teaching? You were teaching percussion?
Yeah, yeah. I was teaching how to play the drum set, basically.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And so my friend said, why don't you get a job in a real school? And I said, okay, but I don't have a college degree. He goes, that's okay. They'll pay you to go to college and, you know, you'll get your degree and all that. And I said, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So I went from that other thing where I was making pretty good money once in a while to a job where I made terrible money all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
did have benefits. I had a health plan and I had just started paying into the pension. And it was like not much money, but immediately I loved the job. I wasn't a teacher. I was a teacher's aide. And I did that for 3 years while I went to college and got my degree. And I took the classes that you had to get certified to be a music teacher, and I had to audition. I had to audition on piano and two other instruments. They were saxophone and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, not drums, because I could not find the only. They gave you they had these are the pieces you have to play. One of these pieces, they give you a whole big sheet. Right.
It sounds like you were going to Juilliard. It sounds like you were going to Juilliard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's who usually applies for these positions. So,
wow.
And I, you know, so I had all this experience, but I really, you know, I took piano lessons from 7 to 11. So I had 4 years of piano lessons, and I could read music. I was able to, without taking any music classes, pass the audition. And,
as they say.
But I couldn't find drum music, so I had to do it on saxophone, which I really was pretty bad at. But I played it every day for about 3 months, and by the end of the 3 months, I could play.
When you have a natural talent, it comes to you easy, you know. When you have that born given talent,
every day it's no. I think it's just It's just stubbornness. I don't think it's talent because I sucked on that saxophone. I totally sucked. I just practiced 3 hours a day for 3 months. You know, right. I eventually had to go out to the park because I was driving the people in the building nuts. You know, I was in the apartment building.
I got to share this with you. When I was younger, I wanted to play the drums in school in the band. And they said, no, girls can't play the drums, whatever. So I wound up taking the trumpet. I hated it. I mean, I enjoyed it because it was music. But when I got home, my mother would make me go all the way in the last room. And she goes, when you can play the Flight of the Bumblebee, come and see me. but I got chased away because it was so bad, you know. But oh my god, I had to share that. I finally picked it up but I wasn't serious about it, you know. It was a shame. I wasn't too serious about it.
It's never been about that. I'm not the most talented person. I have had students that have talent. I know it's possible. Kids come in and just can play. But I was not like, I really had to work to get anywhere. Mm. You know, I remember when I started playing the drums, my mother said, why do you want to play the drums? You have no rhythm.
Oh, God. Is your mother my mother? No. Do we have the same mother?
She was not supportive. She was not supportive of my music career, but my dad was.
Yeah.
So they were, he was very supportive. He was totally into it. He would drive us to gigs and stuff before I was old enough to have my license.
Your dad a musician too? I got to ask. Was he into music?
No.
Is that why he was so supportive?
He liked music, and he built himself a guitar when he was in high school, and guitar in high school.
Nice.
And his best friend, he taught him how to play some rudimentary things. And his friend had money, so he bought himself a guitar, and my dad would show him things. And then that guy went into the Navy, played in the Navy band over in Hawaii, came back and married my dad's sister, and that was my Uncle Bill. And he was the one that, you know, people say, oh, did you have me? You know, it was Uncle Bill that taught us all how to play. He showed us how to play every instrument. He had this band, and they would practice in his house. So there was a drum set, there was a piano, there was a Fender amp, there was a Fender guitar. There was a bunch of amps, like a K amp, a Fender amp, a Silvertone amp, and he had a bunch of guitars. So we would practice in the beginning. We practiced on his equipment. This is the guy that my dad taught how to play guitar. My dad was not, you know, he never had any aspirations to play. You know, my Uncle Bill, he would play every weekend. He was a real estate agent, so he made good money, and he would just play on the weekends for fun with, you know, his buddies. You know, they'd go to a bar and get free drinks.
That sounds like Uncle Bill's was the place to go.
Yeah, oh yeah. Uncle Bill was a lot of fun. He was really a great guy.
Yeah.
And
so getting
like
back
I say,
to the
if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been a musician. It was really
well, thank God for Uncle Bill because without Uncle Bill and then you, we wouldn't have had Blue Oyster Cult and all this other great music, my goodness. So getting back to the kids about the cowbell.
So the kids were like, they could not believe that I was a rock star. I told them it's you guys, you know, I have plenty of money. I don't have to do the money. They don't pay anything. Teachers don't make no money.
Right.
And they would not believe me. Then they saw the cowbell skit in 2000.
Right.
I'd been working there for 13 years, pretty much unknown. And all of a sudden, I became the big celebrity in the school. And they knew who I was. Not only that, they loved the song Don't Fear the Reaper, and they wanted to learn how to play it. We actually did the cowbell skit a number of times in assemblies for the rest of the school.
How cool was that?
So much
fun.
It really changed everything in the school. Everybody knew who I was then. You know, they would be recruiting students, and they would all stop by the music room. Yeah, this is the guy that played the cowbell.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you too. You did play. That was you playing the cowbell on the cut, right? I mean,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was definitely me, and you know, there was a whole. I remember it because I didn't get it. I was like, cowbell. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, you know. And the producer's like, "Oh, just try it. Just
right.
Humor me, okay?" You know, I because I had said there was a trumpet on the track played by Randy Brecker, who is a fantastic musician, but we didn't like the direction that was taking the song. We thought it made it really corny, and we didn't want it to be corny, even though it's, you know, it's basically a love song, but. You know,
right.
The worst to call it, so it can't be too corny. So we didn't like what he did, so we erased the track. So now there was an empty track, and I said, you know what? I want to put where there was a trumpet solo, I just want to put a triangle there.
Mm.
And they go, triangle? What do you mean? Like ding, 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 ding? I said, no, it's going to go like this. Boom, 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 ding.
Hmm.
On that fourth beat. The last beat of that riff, I wanted a little sparkly sound, and which is there. If you listen, you can hear it. But
I'm playing into my head right now.
Yeah, and so the producer says, "Well, I'll let you do that, but you've got to play cowbell in the verses." I'm like, "What? Just let me do the triangle, okay?" He's like, "No. Just let me hear it." So I play the cowbell. You know, after the first verse, they stopped, and I said, stop. Does this sound any good at all to you guys? And the producer's like, yeah, I think that's what I want. And I said, Don, what do you think? You know, Don Roser, you know, Buck Donna, who wrote the song and sang it. And he said, I don't know. It's kind of distracting or something. I said, yeah, David, you really want to do it? He said, I know. I got some tape here. And he comes out to the studio, puts tape around the thing. He says, it's just too gongy. You know, let's see how it sounds. And so it's like, and Don's like, that's getting better. It's not quite right, though. I said, I know what I need to do. And I got a timpani mallet because I always had them to do like tom-tom and cymbal rolls.
I love timpani. I love the timpani.
Yeah, me too. So I played it in the high school band, actually.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the timpani.
Yeah. You never play except for the dramatic moments.
Yeah, exactly. It's so building.
It's dramatic, yeah. So anyway, so I had that mallet, and I played it with a mallet. And I said, I can live with that. And Tom said, yeah, you know, I get it, David. It's really good. It's a good idea. Let's cut the whole track. And what David said, well, when you're out there, I want to play something. I think I'm going to play a wiro. I said, a wiro? Okay. Where are you going to put that? He goes, in between the first and second verse. I said, oh, okay. He said, just to give it a little texture. I said, okay.
Mm.
I'd like to hear it, but, you know, we can always mute it, you know, if it doesn't sound good. He goes, yeah, that's, you know, I'm not going to be playing when the cowbell plays. I said, okay, cool. And then Don said, I want to do a vibra slap at the end of the guitar solo. On that very last note, I'm going to hit a vibra slap, you know, kind of answering the delicacy of the triangle. He's going to have the he did that. So the three of us got out there. We did the whole track, one take, all the way through from start to
finish. Wow.
And I played the triangle and the cowbell in the verses. You know, that sounds more like a woodblock. It really sounds like, you know.
Yeah.
But somehow Will Ferrell figured out that it was a cowbell and wrote a whole skit on it, you know. He probably thought, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God. And for people who already knew the song and then for it to the sketch was just really, it's like, because when we did listen to the song, we're like, that's a lot of cowbell.
Yeah.
Need more cowbell. Oh, but listen, I looked up the top 10, well, the top 5 cowbell songs, and there was actually 2 lists, and one of them, you're number 2, it's a Spinning Wheel. Well, I don't know if this is numbered, but it just said songs that on this one was Spinning Wheel, Reaper, Hooked on a Feeling, and Give Me Some Loving by the Blues Brothers Band. And then there was another one, which was the top 10, and the 5th song is Low Rider, Hair of the Dog, and then Reaper. What's the next one? We're an American Band and Honky Tonk Woman. And, you know, you listen to them, and you don't even realize that the cowbell's there, even in Reaper, because it just goes. It's there. Without it, the song, if we listen to it now without the cowbell, forget it. It'd be like, what is that? You know, but I was dying to ask you about that, how you guys felt about that, because I'm sure it resurrected the song again for people who had never heard of it before.
Yeah, you know, and I remember at the time saying, David, why do you want a cowbell? Is the drum part not steady enough? And he said, no, I want to hear that sound. And then, like a couple years ago, we were talking about it, you know, because he was saying that he played the cowbell. And I said, David, you played the cowbell on a different song. I said, it was on Tenderloin. He goes, oh, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, shoot. Well, I said, but, you know, so why did you really want the car? You know, was it the ticking of time? He goes, no, it was just everything was 8 notes. Da-da-da-da, you know, and the drums are going poop, poop, pop,
yeah, yeah.
Poop, poop, pop, poop. He said, and the bass is going do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and the keyboard is going da-da-da-da, you know, or, well, there was Alan playing the riff on the clavinet, and Eric was just playing chords, you know, whole note chords.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so he said there was no pulse. There was no quarter note pulse. And a pop song needs a quarter note pulse. I said, really? He goes, yep. And he was right, you know. So it's possible that I think the song still would have been a hit without it.
I think so too. But without it now, yeah. it would be hard to say, oh wow, you know, like you definitely would say, oh wow, without it, you know.
Yeah.
But well, listen, are you in a hurry to get off the air tonight, or you got time?
No, I have an appointment at 9:30 tomorrow morning. But
well, I'd love to. Since we're talking about Reaper, I'd love to play it, and I want to play a couple of songs tonight, so I hope you're okay with that. So since we're talking about the cowbell, folks, if you haven't heard this song, I don't know where the hell you've been on earth, but it's been around forever. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Blue Oyster Cult had such a big role in heavy metal, and maybe I keep saying Blue Oyster Cult for the name of the song. Maybe Reaper may not reflect that, but we're going to play some stuff where you're going to hear that Blue Oyster Cult did play a major role in heavy metal. So since we're talking about the cowbell, let's do it. This is Don't Fear the Reaper. I'm stuttering tonight. Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Feel the Fear the Reaper. Oh, man. Do I still have COVID? Now I got COVID brain. Here we go. Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult. Check it out. And enjoy. I shouldn't say check it out. Enjoy.
Don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind.
What a great song. I remember exactly where I was when I heard it, and we would listen to it. That was back at the time when you would just all sit in a room, party, and listen to music, you know?
Yeah.
And just feel it. And just great stuff. Oh, man, great song. I love it.
Thank you.
But like I was saying, I mean, you guys don't get the credit that is due to you for being part of heavy metal. I mean, even Metallica did one of your songs. So how cool was that? You know?
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Wow. And can I ask why you're... I know you wanted to do Imaginos, but...
Right.
Was there another reason why you left the band, do you think you and Joe will ever go back?
Well, I don't know. There was a long time. Well,
it is your band, after all.
Get it kicked out.
It is your band.
Did you ever see School of Rock with Jack Black?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that was me. They didn't like my antics. Me out of the band because I was being obnoxious and acting out and I don't know that the punishment fit the crime. I always felt like they overreacted, but it might have, because they didn't talk to me about it. You know, they just, we've had enough, and it was like there was no build up, there was no. I mean,
right.
There was stuff building up in me because I was resentful of them. They didn't seem to appreciate the sacrifices I made for when we were making Fire of Unknown Origin in particular, the changes I had made to Burn It For You, because I felt like that what Don wanted was not, it wasn't good enough, you know. I wanted it to be to keep redoing it until it sounded like a hit to me, and it didn't.
Yeah.
So I think they resented that, you know, even though I still think I was right, you know. I mean, the song was a bigger hit than Reaper, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't have the staying power because, let's face it, it's just not quite as good a song. But, you know, it was a bigger hit. You know, it sold more records, so, you know, at the time anyway. I mean, Reaper is a gift that keeps on giving. But so there was all this resentment towards me about what I did on that record. And
yeah.
I felt that was unwarranted. And so I was acting out. I was saying things to them.
Wow.
They didn't want me to ride with them in the car, so I had to get my own car. And
oh, wow.
I was in England, and I was getting lost, so, you know, I was mad that they seemed to be getting to the gigs on time, and I was late for two gigs. I mean, the second time I was late, they fired me, so.
Well, I mean, it's just crazy, because you and Joe, I mean, you were the co-founders of the band, and you did a lot.
Joe came in after. It was Donald and I that founded the band. Don,
okay,
but Don, myself, Joe. I brought Joe in later. You know, so yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a original member.
Right.
He didn't found the band. You know, the band was already established when he came in. So.
And after all these years, you guys don't think about getting back together, or it's gone?
They had me play on their last record,
mm-hmm.
Simple Remains. They had me play and sing on it. So there is good feelings there. And, you know, I don't hold any hard feelings. I mean, at the time I did, because I felt like they were robbing me of my career, you know.
Right.
I was really upset, but then I got the teaching gig, and that job changed my life in a very good way. I learned how to control my emotions. I learned how to I learned how to meditate. I learned so much, you know, the tools to have a happy life. So,
right.
Yeah, I was the dean at the end because I felt like I'd learned so much. I wanted to share it with the knuckleheads. I wanted the knuckleheads. Give me the hard nuts. You know, give me the hard cases. I want them. And none of the other teachers wanted them. I wanted them. I said, I might be able to change one of these guys' lives, you know. I think I changed a bunch of their lives, you know, for the better. So, yeah, you know, it was a great job. And it would have never happened if they hadn't kicked me out. So,
I guess
I've gone from being angry about it to being extremely grateful.
Yeah, I guess there was a reason for it, or, you know, a reason for everything, right?
Yeah.
You found yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, I became a better person. I'm certain of it. I'm better now. So
yeah, well, that's
great. Okay. And so I played on the record. You know, I didn't. You know, they have a touring band, so they want to get. And you know, I played with them, and I played like a half a dozen gigs with them in 2016 for the 40th anniversary. And I remember saying at the time, we would go out and have a whole band meal, but I took the other guys, you know, the new guys. I took them out to dinner one day, just me and you know, the three guys that are not original.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you guys are such a good band. You really should insist that they make a record and use you. Because I think, you know, you deserve to, you've all put in decades with Boys to Cult. You deserve to have your stamp on the brand.
Right.
And so they finally did. They finally, you know, in 2020 already. Or was it? Yeah, 2020. They put out that record in, or was it 2020? I don't know. It was the last record they did, and they had the new guys playing on, you know, all of it, basically, except, you know, they had me coming in as a special guest, and I think they had Richie Castellano's father played something, and, you know, but mostly it was, you know, the core band and the touring band. So I thought that was great, and they asked me to play with them last September, a year ago, not this past September, but a year before that. I played three nights with them at Sony Hall, which is like a 550-seater. It's a nice, really great theater. The sound is just amazing. The stage looks great. It's a great little theater. We played three sold-out shows, three nights in a row during the week, and we played the first album the first night, the second album the second night, and the third album the third night. And then they played two sets. They played one set of the album in order, you know, and as much like the record as seemingly possible.
Right.
You know, although I couldn't resist trying to throw in a few things, you know.
Mm.
Because I got to be the utility player because I wasn't playing drums. The other guy played the drums. But
right.
I sang and played on every song in the first set. And then the second set, they came out and played some of the new songs and some of the, you know, fan favorites. And of course they played Reaper. And so I played three nights with them, you know, the whole, you know, almost the whole set, you know, other than, you know, the new songs that I never recorded. But if I recorded a song, I played with them. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
And actually on Friday, They recorded the whole thing because Sony Hall has got this amazing recording setup. So they did all, you know, multi-tracks. They had a famous mixer mix it. And so I'm on the new Blue Oyster Cult record. The three nights are coming out. The first night is coming out this coming Friday. And there's also a bonus record, which I'm not allowed to talk about, except to say it's going to be a mind blower for people.
I'm sure. Yeah, sure.
It's definitely got some BOC sounds on it, and I'm on
nice.
That record as well. So,
nice.
Yeah, so I am playing with them. It's all good. They played in my neighborhood. They played in Nassau County a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right.
It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, and I got up and sang a song with them.
Cool.
At the end of the show.
Well,
yeah.
Right? See, time heals all wounds, right? It's slow, but time heals all wounds. But again, pardon me, going back to the heavier part of Blue Oyster Cult, I've got Cities on Flame with Rock and Roll or Godzilla. Which one you want to go with?
Ooh, well, Cities was definitely influenced by some heavy bands, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Especially the Wizard, the bomb, bomb, bomb. That was,
yeah.
I took that from the Wizard, and then the other part I took from 20th Century Schizoid Man, and then I threw in a little bit of Traffic and James Gang, and that's basically what you got there.
Well, why don't we do that one? So, like I said, most people who know. Basically Reaper and Burning for You don't know the really great music that you guys have done. I mean, those were great hits, but I mean, if you're a real fan, you know the real music. You know, if you listen to the whole album,
yeah.
Both sides, then you know that Blue Oyster Cult played a major role in heavy metal. So let's do that one. Let's do Cities on Flame with Rock and Roll, and this will tell you right now the difference between what we just heard, which was Don't Fear the Reaper, and now you can hear the different sounds. So check this out.
My lips are cold, set it on flame.
Wow. Again, it reminds me of putting on it, putting on an album, letting it run through, and then flipping it over, and all the while just sitting there enjoying the music and partying and having a great time. Oh, man, just great stuff. Wow. Oh, my God. Now, I got to ask you this. Out of all the instruments that you do play, which one do you enjoy playing more, and which one do you think you're best at?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm clearly the best at drumming.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's for sure. You know, guitar, it's like, I mean, with drumming, I mean, with any instrument, you wish you could be better.
Mm.
But with drumming, it's like, I can pretty much play almost anything I hear. I can play almost anything anybody else has done. The drummer that I have in my solo band, Cyzan Griffin, he does some things that I'm like, what? How did you? You know, he's like, I practiced, you know, and he shows me what he practiced. And I actually did I have a vlog. Well, it was a weekly vlog, but now I just put it out whenever I feel like putting out a vlog. And it's called the Most Cowbell.
Uh-huh.
Most Cowbell vlog. And so I did a whole vlog on him and what he does to be able to do what he did. I mean, he's extremely limber, first of all. He was a dancer first. And so he can play the hi-hat with his foot.
Wow.
I don't mean stepping on the pedal.
No,
I
know.
Picking
yeah.
his foot up over his head and bringing it down on the hi-hat with his heel.
Wow. Wow.
With the cymbals. I mean, he did that. I was, you know, he's a busker, so he would be working Central Park, and that's how I met him. And of course, he was still doing that while we were making the record. Now everybody's discovered him. He's got all these gigs. It's like I have to book 2-3 months in advance if I want to use him for anything because he's so busy. But
right.
Anyway, so he does stuff I cannot do. I mean, you know, and of course, now can he play just like me? Actually, no, he can't because
right.
I have
right.
whole different sensibility that drummers nowadays don't really have, you know. They're not
right.
growing up listening to Gene Krupa, you know. They're listening to, I don't know, John Bonham, I guess, maybe. Or, you know, I don't know who their heroes are, but, you know, it's not my heroes were or John Bonham's heroes. So, you know, but I feel very confident on the drums, you know, as far
yeah.
as my abilities. It's not if you were to throw a song at me, whether it was a weird time to signature or whatever, I could do it. But
right.
You know, so, but on the guitar, I find there's just a whole mountain of things I cannot do. And, you know, I can get by on the guitar. I could take that acoustic guitar and go into a bar and entertain people for
right,
a couple hours.
Right.
No problem.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, I would say my skills are number one, drums, number two, vocals, because you know, I haven't got worse. I've actually gotten better over the years. So, and I'm doing a lot more singing now too. So that might have something to do with
great.
It.
Great. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well,
and then guitar and then maybe, you know, piano after that, you know, I played plenty of gigs playing the guitar now, but not
yeah.
that many playing piano, maybe half a dozen.
Mm.
You know, where I'm a piano player. So,
but
I do know how to play. And, you know, when I became a teacher, I went back and took piano lessons as an adult.
Oh, really?
I played Duke Ellington and some Stride stuff, you know, some of that sort of what you call, I guess it's Stride piano, where you play the bass note and then you play the chord and then you play another bass note and the chord. You know, hopping with your hands. So I kind of learned how to do that as an adult, and I learned how to, you know, the lessons that I took as a child, you know, they were not taught by great teachers. Whereas when I was an adult, I sought out, you know, the best teachers I could find
of course.
In the city, and
right, right, right,
lessons, and so I gained a little bit more on a proficiency there.
Right.
I think I'm still better on it. The thing is, the piano, I can play a part, I can read a part. When I play the guitar, I can get the feel.
Right.
You know, when I'm doing a demo, I'd rather use the guitar just because I can get the feel of what I want. You know, I'm much better rhythmically on guitar. I think my mother thought that I didn't have any rhythm because I still struggle with my left and right hands on the piano. If I'm playing just one hand, I can play perfectly in time. But if I play both hands, it doesn't always work.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy. You know, sometimes I find it hard to believe how people can play anything and sing at the same time. It's how to keep the coordination and the melody and stay on track with the tune.
Another trick, yeah. And that was the other thing is that when I was in Blue Oyster Cult, I would sing like two or three or sometimes four songs every record. So I was, you know, and then Eric Bloom and Bug Dama would split the other, you know, and Joe would do a song or two. And then Eric and Don would split the rest. So a lot of the records, or well, a bunch of them, I'm singing more lead vocals than anybody else.
Wow.
So,
and you never thought you'd be the lead vocalist, right? You were always the musician. How crazy is that, right?
Yeah. At first, I never thought I'd sing at all because I didn't really like it that much. And even when I was the lead vocalist on the record, when we go out live, Eric Bloom would sing the songs because I could not sing lead and play. I could sing a background part, but I couldn't.
Right.
But I couldn't play drums and sing a lead. That has changed now as an adult. You know, I'm out on tour with the Dictators and they have me sing some leads and it's easy. I don't know what happened. Something happened to me where all of a sudden I can do it. So I think it's because my drumming is, I can just set the drumming on automatic. And also I think when I was younger, I was trying to impress people with my drumming. And that's no longer a factor. I don't care about that. All I care about is the song.
Right.
I'm not the cliche, but that's.
No. Well, you've been playing so long. I mean, come on. You got to feel that way eventually. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to go back to burning for you, but I got to tell you a story about that.
Yeah.
And I want to play it because when it came out, I was surprised that you guys did it because it definitely did not sound like a Blue Oyster Cult song to me. I mean, with all the heavy stuff. I mean, it just didn't. It just didn't. And I thank God for MTV too, because that, I think that kind of like blew it over too. Thank God, you know, MTV opened up so many doors for everybody, you know, so, but I got to share this. Whenever this song came on the radio, I was always hot. It's so weird. I can't even, like right now we're going to play it. I have a heating blanket on me and my ass is hot, but it's okay. It feels good. No, it helps my lower back. But it's just amazing that every time I heard this song, I was either burning in the sun or was in a hot car. And the same thing with Running on Empty. Every time I would hear Running on Empty, I was out of gas. It was so weird. It was so weird. But I do want to play Burning for you so that everybody can hear that one too. And then we're going to move on to Imaginos, and then we're going to move on to The Dictators, and we're going to find out where you're playing and let everybody know where they can find out where they can hear you guys. And let's play that real quick. So this is Burning for you guys. I know you know it. So enjoy it.
Home in
Yeah, I love the roles in that one. You do some great roles in that one. Oh man.
I just
thought it was a little poppy for you guys, but it was a great song, and man, it got major rotation on MTV. So I must have been hot a lot, because man, every time it played, I had a problem. And I was young, so it wasn't menopause. Oh man. Well, listen, I got to ask you, who is the brains behind Imaginos? How did that all come about? The saga, the story.
Sandy Proman, the manager and the co-writer of a lot of the songs, he told me about this concept just a couple of weeks after I met him in 1967 in the fall. So, you know, I thought, I didn't know it was going to be songs. I thought it was, you know, he's talking about a story. You know, I thought he was going to make it, write a novel or something about this character. And then sometime, well, in 67, we weren't Blue Oyster Cult. We were called the Soft Red and Underbelly.
Mm.
And he didn't write that many songs for, well, he actually ended up writing quite a few, but at first, it was more his friend Richard Meltzer. And Meltzer wrote, for instance, he wrote Brenner for You.
Yeah.
So Sandy wrote Cities on Flame. But in the beginning, I didn't realize that, you know, he was writing all these songs were about the story. But by the time we got to Astronomy on Secret Treaties, it was clear that, you know, because Alan Lanier said, who's Desdenova? And Sandy Proman said, that's another name for Imaginos, was Desdenova.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Alan's like, but Desdenova is a girl's name. And Sandy's like, so what? You know. He could say, imagine this could be a girl, it could be a boy, who knows?
Right.
And so, you know, he had that, but also on that same record, we had Subhuman, which was originally called Blue Oyster Cult. That was the poem or the lyric that we got our name from. Because that was written back in the Soft Red Underbelly days, and of course there's a reference to Imaginos in that. Which I believe, I don't remember the Subhuman lyric, because Eric basically took out half the song. And I understand why, because, you know, when I redid Imaginos as Reimaginos back in 2020, I decided I'm going to use all the words that Sandy wrote. And it's a lot of words. It's not hard to remember for me, because I've been working on it for 20 years or something. But, you know, so they're basically part of my DNA now. But but it's still a lot of vocal. You know, it seems like you're just a ton of words, you know. Sometimes I would use the iPad to help me remember the lyrics, right? And you know, you could either have it on two different pages or one page where the type is really small. You know?
Yeah.
So, but I have it on one page because I don't really need to look at the lyrics, but other people might. So, you know, because there's harmonies and stuff, you know, on that track where the part of the vocal is in harmony. And so nobody else knows it like I do, but, you know, so I understand, but that was a reference to Imaginos was in Subhuman song, and Astronomy was also another, you know, so both of those songs were on that Secret Treaties record, and of course, even the all the text on there was referring to Imaginos type of stuff.
Hmm.
So, you know, and I think that, you know, Sandy really wanted the band to do a whole album that would be called Imaginos, and it would be dedicated to the stories about this character.
Now, this is a trilogy, guys, if you guys don't know that. It's a three parts, and it's a story. It sounds like a crazy plot when you started it years ago. I mean, how could you guys think of that years ago, and look where we are today? Like you had a premonition. It's like you had a premonition.
Yeah.
Of the future.
Of things, you know, seems. But, you know, Sandy Perlman was really into studying the occult. He one of the seminal books that he read that influenced him was called The Morning of the Magician, which was a book originally written in French by this guy who was a big fan of Rimbaud, the poet, and Baudelaire and all these people that Patti Smith was into. But this is in the 60s. This is in the 50s. So
Right.
So, and I think that was part of Sandy's attraction to Patti Smith is that they both, and so this was all about secret societies, vanishing civilizations, extraterrestrials, teleportation, just all kinds of fantastic things.
I'm curious, have you ever thought about turning it into a movie, or has anybody ever approached you guys about doing it?
Well, it's a trilogy, right? There's three.
Yeah.
There's three records, and the third record came out last July, I think. Was it June?
The Mutant Reformation, the third and final album.
Reformation, yeah. So that was it came out the 7th of July. Imagine us three. So just now what has come out is volume one of the Imaginos comic. So, and it came out really great. We worked on it for the entire time that I worked on Imaginos 3, which
That's
was
cool.
about a year and 8 months. So we started on this. So the record took a year and 8 months. And the comic book took two years
wow.
to do this first volume, but it came out really great, and we're starting to do the second volume. So there's going to be three volumes of the comic book. So now you're going to see how the story fits together.
Right,
not just a bunch, because the songs it's not obvious how they connect.
Right, right.
Whereas when you see the comic, you see, and the comic is cool because it has a QR code, so you can scan it with your phone and then listen to the song as you're reading it. So
that's a great idea.
And we all thought before, this is the easiest way to get somebody who's interested in making a movie or a stage show or something to
help them out.
Sandy
There's
Perlman
a storyboard.
The
it's right there in a comic book. It's a storyboard, There you go.
That, they do it all the time with these Marvel people. So who knows, maybe they'll pick it up.
Right.
But, and Sandy had tried the same thing, but his idea was, I'll make it a video game. But he could not get it off the ground. I found in his papers, treatments and things like that. Treatments for a movie, treatments for a video game, how the video game is going to progress and all this stuff. And, I think this way is a little bit easier to imagine how it could be turned into a movie. I think it would be a great movie,
Oh, yeah. And the music, I want to play a song, if you guys haven't heard it yet. I mean, I haven't heard all three of them, but, I'm sure some of the music is a little, I don't want to say spacey, but futuristic. But the song I picked was, Curse of the Hidden Mirror. And they're really just normal songs with a story, and it's a whole story here. So this is from Imaginos. Let's play this. This is Curse, because I want to get on. We're running out of time. I want to make sure I get these songs in. I want to play one of the songs from the, the Dictators for you guys, too. I want to play that, too. Yeah, so this is Curse of the Hidden Mirror. Wow. You know what it is?
Mirrors,
Al? I'm tired. I am so tired. You have no idea. I have not been home, and when I am home, I'm working. Last night I worked at 1 a.m.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in New Jersey.
Where are you broadcasting from? Oh, in New Jersey. Okay.
Where are you at? Jersey. Are you East Coast or West Coast?
I'm in Queens.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to hook up. We got to hook up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Well, listen, let's play this real quick. Curse of the Hidden Mirror from the Imaginos album. And it is, listen, if you haven't heard 1 and 2, you got to listen to all 3 of them to really connect, but you don't really to enjoy them. And third and final album is Imaginos Trilogy is The Mutant Reformation. So this is Curse of the Hidden Mirror. Wow, 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 wow. Guys, that is a taste. If you want to check out the trilogy, oh, my God. I mean, I can't imagine. I didn't hear the whole thing, the trilogy, Al, I'm sorry. But just great. Was that a double tom and then a double bass?
No. That was a
well, that was Mike
bass.
Damn
that's,
good.
That's not me playing drums. That's Sizon.
Oh,
good.
Wow.
You know, I'm playing the guitars and the keyboards, all the guitars and the keyboards, and my friend David is playing bass, and the lead vocal is sung by Mike Watt.
Mike Watt.
He was in a punk rock group called the Minutemen. And
oh, okay.
Then he's kind of a famous. He's put out a bunch of solo records, but he also played with Iggy and the Stooges for about 10 years. You know,
wow.
Iggy was out there touring the last version of Iggy. So yeah, he's an amazing musician. I've known him many, many years, and he's a big Blue Oyster Cult fan. And when I was making this, I knew it was probably going to be the last one. I mean, we're talking about a prequel now because we've got enough material. Sandy had all this material, you know, leading up to writing the songs, and a lot of the songs could take place before Imaginos was born, like a quote. So,
right.
Okay, well, maybe you can do that.
Well, where can everybody get them, all three, or, I mean, other than online? I mean, do you have a website or anything, Al, that people could go and get Imaginos?
I have a website with a link to all the records. It is albertbouchard.net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I mentioned the Blue Oyster Cult records. I cannot sell those on my, you know, my if I can, maybe they'll let me put a link on my website because I am playing. I mean, the last record, I only played on one song and I only sang and played some percussion and some keyboards. But this record, I'm on almost every cut, so I'm really in there. In the band on this new record, so maybe they'll let me do that. It should be good. Those shows, I have to say, this is the first night, and I remember coming back from that show to my apartment. I was living in Manhattan at the time, Upper West, West Side. So, and I came back with my then girlfriend Susie, and I asked her to marry me, and she said she would. You know, of course, we're all overcome with emotion because it was super emotional backstage. The band, they was really nice. They were really nice to me. They were nice to her. You know, and
that wouldn't happen to be Susie Lorraine on Ariana, would it?
That's who it is. Yes, Susie Lorraine. She was a big fan of Blue Oyster Cult. Actually, not a big fan, but she would come around. She was a fan of the guys. She was, you know, she was a groupie when I met her, and she said, I really like the Blue Oyster Cult guys because they were very respectful and they didn't expect to get sex. I said, we're all married. She said it didn't stop the other guys, you know.
Right.
So she felt no pressure being with us. She just hung out, you know, and she and I, you know, I never even really looked at her as a groupie, to be honest. I mean, she was just cool people, you know. So
yeah
we connected at the beginning of 2020, and you know, we've been hanging around, and so this was in September. We'd already, you know, kind of gotten to know each other a little better, you know, and at that point she started singing on my record. And she came to my house. She was just coming as an old friend, you know, because I hadn't seen her in 30 years, and we weren't planning on becoming an item or anything. And she was taking a shower, and I heard her singing in the shower. And when she got out, I said, you know, you've got a great singing voice. She says, yeah, I've been told that. But, you know, I said, have you ever, you know, sung you know, live, you know. She goes, nah, I sing in the shower, I sing in the car, you know, I sing, you know, if I go out to karaoke, I sing karaoke, but I have never. I said, have you ever been recorded? She goes, oh, no, I don't know what I sound like. I said, well, let's try it. And I recorded her, and she's like, yeah, is that any good? I said, it's great. Wow, you got a great voice. And so I said, well, can you sing harmony to me? She goes, oh, man. She said, I sang in the choir, and I loved harmony. I'm not like these people that when I lose my note, I stick to my note. Now, if you've ever sung in a choir, you know what happens. Sometimes somebody will be next to you, and they'll be supposed to sing harmony, but they'll end up on your note.
Right.
It happens all the time to non-singers. But anyway, she knew how to do that. And I said, how did you do that? She said, well, my parents were singers, and they were professional musicians. I'm like, really? You know, I'd known her, but I didn't know anything about her
Anything about her, right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we started, you know, talking about other families and stuff, and one thing led to another.
There you go.
We didn't get married, but we you know, she moved in with me, and, you know, we actually got a domestic partnership, so, because I said, now
nice.
I'm supporting you, can I take you off my taxes?
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
and Susie is on the Imaginos album, and she's singing Ariana of Earth, and I did hear it, and she does have a beautiful voice. She absolutely does.
Yeah, she also sings Mothra, which was an old Mothra and Starfish, and that was an old Soft Red Underbelly song, and I was doing it, and she's like, ow. I don't like this. You should drop this from the record. I said, what don't you like about it? She goes, that's just herky-jerky. And she started to give me a list of why it's no good. And I'm like, well, okay, so we could change it. You know, and she goes,
right.
What? I said, watch this. And she goes, and so I start doing something to the track. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go watch a movie. I'm going to watch YouTube. And she leaves, and she comes back, and I'm like, how's that? And she's like, oh, you fixed it.
Oh, very cool.
How would you like to sing it? And she goes, oh, really? I said, well, you sang a harmony part to me, and I thought that was better than the lead part. So why don't you sing your part, and I'll just sing some harmony to you. And
right.
So that's how that, and then that song sounded really good, and I sent it to Nashville to this guy, RJ Ronquillo. And he does a live stream every Saturday morning, and I think it was on Friday that Jeff Beck died, and so he knew how I just idolized Jeff Beck. I played with him.
Who doesn't?
You know, I said, right. Yeah, he was my favorite guitar player, and so.
Yeah.
He mentioned it on the live stream, and then afterwards I said, hey, if you do a lead on this, can you make it sound like Jeff Beck? And he goes, I was going to do that. He said, I'm working on it right now. And so that lead is fantastic. I mean, Susie says, oh, that's my favorite part of the record, is the guitar lead on Monster and Starfish. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, because we're running out of time, I want to play one more song.
Yeah.
Tell me, are you touring with the Dictators now? Are you guys out now, or what's going on with that?
We did two tours this year, a short one with the Damned, which was just five shows in California. And we did a show in New York first, and then we went out on our own, and then we went out to and played with the Damned in California, which was fantastic, you know. We had huge crowds. And we totally won them over every show. You know, we would get encores, and well, they would want an encore. And we started playing shorter sets so that the Damned would let us play an encore. But you know, so it was all good. You know, they were really, really cool with us. You know, they really, you know, I mean, we're professionals. We're not gonna screw them. You know, we want them to look good, but you know, we also want to win over their audience. So
right.
We were cool with that too. So we were supposed to do a longer tour this fall, but right in the middle of it, they fired their booking agent, and now they have a new booking agent who's even, I think, you know, he works with BOC's management. So that's going to be a good thing. That's going to be a very good thing. But in the meantime, we did a tour of Spain, which was really, it was kind of grueling. It was 11 shows in 12 days.
Wow.
And that day off was not a day off. It was a day of, a 6-hour drive. And we said, okay, well, I guess we're almost to the next place. And the guy goes, no, we got 4 hours tomorrow.
Wow.
Like, oh, my God. Yeah, wow. That's why we had to have a day off.
Yeah.
From the top of Spain to the bottom.
Right. And now the dictators, we can find information at albertbashar.net as well, or is there a separate website for dictators too?
There's a dictators.com website, so I have a link to them, but if you want to go directly to the site, I think it's called, let me check it out. I'll just make sure that I got this right here. I can just go here on my site. And the website is The Dictators.
TheDictators.com. Well, I could have picked any song, but I had to pick this one because I don't think the layman know the extent of the musicality of the Osmonds because they were such a pop bubblegum band.
Yeah.
But this song.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Song just proves their musicianship was just really great. And a lot of rock musicians, they say this song had a lot to do with, you know how people say, oh, the Beatles did it, but this song had, and Smoke on the Water and all that crap. But they say this song was just blew them away. So this is from the Dictators and it is Crazy Horses. Check this one out, guys. Killed it. Wow. Unbelievable. Oh, you turned that sucker up. Damn. Oh, my goodness. Al, it was a pleasure talking to you. And please go to albertbashar.net or thedictators.com and you can get on the Imagine.
Well, look them up on Facebook, too. That's actually better. I'm just looking. The Facebook page has got the most up-to-date stuff.
Yeah, well, that's where I found you. that's where I found you. And I'm so glad that I found you. Yeah. I'm so glad that I found
Very
you.
Very cool.
So, yeah. Well, Albert Bouchard, everybody, go check Imaginos. Finally, the trilogy is done, and we're not doing any more. So go to albertbouchard.net. And if you want to find out where the Dictators are going to be playing out, go to thedictators.com, and they also have music there as well. And, again, Al, thank you so very much. You've been what a pleasure. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the evening and listening to the music with you and your stories and just a great evening. And I can't thank you enough again for rescheduling. That was very kind of you.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
All right.
We'll do it again sometime.
Anytime, you let me know. Come on back.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, wonderful. All right, everybody, Albert Bouchard. Albert, thank you so much. You have a great night, and if we don't talk, you have a great holiday, and please keep in touch. Keep in touch, and we will, you were right across the water. You never know. I could come over and hang out sometime. I'd love to see you play, too.
It's cool. I got a big place here with a giant yard. Come over in the summertime and have a picnic.
Oh, you got to let me know.
Or maybe
I'll bring the ants. If you're going to have a picnic, I'll bring the ants.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Anyway, thank you again. Thank you so very much. Have a good night, and all the best to you and Susie. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations, and we'll see you soon, hopefully, okay? Come back anytime.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, everybody, Albert Bouchard. Thanks, Albert. Take care. Oh, what a nice night. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. I love playing music with the guests. I really do. I enjoy it. I enjoy it so much. I need it this night. I need it to break my monotony. Anyway, we had to do a lot of moving around. I got some things going on. But pardon me. Herbie J. Pilato is kind enough to come back to. I had to reschedule Herbie. Herbie is a classic TV aficionado. We're going to talk to him about his Bewitched books, his $6 Million Man books, his 007 book he's got out, and he is just phenomenal and a great guy, actor, author, and producer, you name it, he does it, and he is, again, classic TV aficionado, so we're going to have a good time with Albert. That's on Saturday, on December 9th at 9 p.m., and then we've got Dennis Provisor from the Grassroots. I can't wait to talk to him, too, on December 12th at 9 p.m., and I'm excited again to welcome Angela Lantry. If you don't know who she is by that name, you may know her as Angela Rockstar. She was on Big Brother. I'm a huge fan of Big Brother. I've been watching it since its inception, and it's been on for a long time. I'm dying to talk to her about this season, what she thought of the house guests and all that nonsense. And we've got Rick Ryan on the 14th and his illustrator. They're going to talk about their new Christmas book, Under Santa's Hat. And on the 16th, Michelle will be back on the 16th for your free psychic readings. We had to reschedule Michelle. And she will be back on the 16th for 9 p.m. Eastern for your free psychic readings. The 17th, we've got Bud Whittington. He's the guitarist from Texas Scratch. They've got a new album out. We're going to play some songs of his. Oh, I'm thrilled to welcome back Kathy Garver. She played Sissy on Family Affair. She's got a new movie coming out. We're going to hang out with her. And then on the 20th, we've got Joey Arminio and Doreen, for you guys who love the 60s, 50s, and 60s, I love that they keep the music alive, and I can't wait to hang out with them, too. We're going to play some Christmas stuff. They've got a new Christmas album. Joey's got a book out, so we're going to have a good time with them, and I may be throwing somebody in. I'm not sure. I'm waiting to hear back, but that's pretty much it, folks. We had a fully booked month, and we had to reschedule for some folks in January. So trying to work around doing things. So anyway, I had a great time, Al. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. I love it. And for those of you guys that were listening in, Thank you so much, too. You could have been doing anything, but you decided to hang out with me, and that's pretty cool. I appreciate that. So I hope you all have a good evening. What's today, Tuesday? Have a great rest of the week. We won't be back until Saturday the 9th with Herbie J. Pilato. We don't usually do Saturdays, but like I said, I have to rework my schedule. So that may be the case for a while. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll keep you posted and just look at the calendar. Hopefully the calendar will be updated real soon with everybody that I just mentioned. Just been a little discombobulated and overwhelmed with things, but we will get to it. And can't wait to have all those great guests come on. And I hope I get to see Mr. Bouchard. I mean, he's over the river, a hop, skip, and a jump. Well, a ferry. Anyway, or a car ride over the bridge. I can either take the boat or the bridge. So anyway, I'm supposed to be meeting somebody in New York as well, and that's just never happening. It's just always something. It's always something. But I hope you guys had a good time. Have a good night. We'll close out with, since I'm hot because of this heating blanket, I play Burning for You. But since let's do the one that really took me over to learn about Blue Oyster Cult, and I can't find it. There we go. All right. Have a good night. Thank you so much, Albert. Albert Bouchard, everybody. Go to albertbouchard.net for the Imaginos trilogy and others. Music and where he'll be, and then thedictators.com to see where they'll be playing out, and they've got some great music too. So I hope you enjoy Crazy Horses by them. That was really good. All right, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye. I'm gonna go get my cowbell. I'm going to build up.